Wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get
yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's another great morning. Great morning to you. Welcome to Great Mornings Podcast. It's your boy, James Earl Cray. And y'all already know how we've been rocking and rolling. This is part 5 of what we're calling our man series. What does it mean to be a man? And today, family, I'm super excited because I got my brother on. So this won't even sound like an interview. This will be more like a conversation between brothers. So y'all just get ready to listen in and get a sneak peek of just a conversation between two dudes that go way back. In fact, I'm probably crack a joke about this a little bit later, but I'm probably the better athlete of the two, which we'll probably get into that conversation in a little bit, just chatting. But nah, this dude is one of the best athletes I know. One of the most, I tell people all the time, most of y'all that's listening, y'all know I'm a competitive dude, but this dude might be 10 times as competitive as I am. And then the sad reality is I'll never forget the night that Tupac was actually murdered. I was on the top bunk at his crib. So that's how far we go back. This is my brother, phenomenal father. That's one of his brands that he'll probably talk to you about. Incredible husband. So many great things going on in his life. Not just a coach to his son athletically, but a life coach, financial coach, entrepreneur, car salesperson, just everything you can think of. This man that has his hands in it. So I just want to go ahead and dive into it and introduce y'all to my brother, my friend, Clifton Austin Sr. What's up, bro?
Wow, man. I appreciate you, bro. Man, I appreciate you. Listen, I don't even have to say much about myself, man. That was a phenomenal introduction, man. But I got to give it right back to you, man. I'm going to give it right back to you, man. You're an amazing father.
Appreciate it, man.
Honestly, amazing businessman. Of course, amazing man of God leading the way and really just not even wavering, man, when a world of just uncertainty, man. I love how you're leading, man. And I watch you, man. I applaud you so much. Of course, we're so much at a distance.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm watching your growth and watching everything that you're doing, man. And every time I get the double tap or love something that you're posting, man, it warms my heart, man. Like you said, we go way back.
Yeah.
Way back. I mean, you've always been one of my best friends, my best friend, especially back in the day, man. And we've been extremely competitive with each other. And I mean, we're going to still share that, man. So thank you so much for that warm introduction. But man, bro, giving it all back to you for all the amazing things that you're doing, man. You are killing it.
Man, I appreciate that, man.
And I'm just telling you that, not because we want a podcast,
yeah,
but just me telling you, man, you are killing it, bro.
Straight up,
man. I'm so proud of you.
Nah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And it's never taken for granted, man, to receive that kind of praise. So thank you for that, bro. It means a lot, man. We're going to dive into this thing. So, Cliff, man, we've been talking about the last four podcast episodes. I just been interviewing men. I think sometimes men don't get a platform to really share like we need to. So we've been talking about what does it mean to be a man, and we'll get to that question. But one of the things, man, I think one of the questions that I wanted to ask you and we'll start off with really was personal, because I was trying to go back in mind. Because I know your mom, you know, had a phenomenal relationship with your mom, incredible woman. God bless her. Obviously, you know my mom. But I don't know how much we talked about our fathers, man. I know for a while your mom was married. And I remember that brother, can't call his name right now, but I remember him for a while in both of our lives, actually. And just like I was thinking, man. Yeah, man. So the first question, man, that I wanted to ask, what was your relationship like with your dad, with your biological father?
Wow, man. Okay. This answer may be a little like all over the place, but truth be told, we didn't have a relationship.
Yeah.
We honestly didn't have a relationship. When I grew up, you know, I was born, raised a little bit in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to Georgia. My mom, you know, my mom and dad, they went their separate ways at a bit when, you know, when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But he still lived in Connecticut. He wasn't the type of, honestly, he wasn't the type of father that came around, checked up on me as much as I can remember when I was younger. But at the same time, when we moved south, we used to always travel up north. And this will really tell you how our relationship was.
Mm-hmm.
But we would travel up north when I moved down to Georgia. So we'll travel, you know, summertime, I'll go up there. Yeah. But I'll go up there, not with my father. I'll go up there with my grandmother,
yeah.
You know, my uncle and, you know, my other family. And this was our relationship. I used to bump into my dad.
Wow.
You know, I used to bump into him. So he's working for the city. And, you know, I'm a kid. I'm running around with my homeboys that live up there. And we kind of, you know, we got little areas where we play basketball. And I bump into my dad. I'm like, oh, man, that's my dad. That's my dad.
Wow.
And he sees me. And then when he sees me, he embraces me, shows me love. And, you know, for two or three days while I'm up there in the summer, now we kicking it, you know.
Yeah.
He'll see me. He'll take me shopping or something. And then from there, boom, don't see him again.
Wow.
Honestly, never had the birthday calls growing up. Never called me.
Wow.
But me always knowing, hey, that's my.
So with that, bro, one of the things that I want to kind of lead into just getting that information with your dad, kind of, as you said, you bumped into him, man, which is really interesting. Now as you was talking about, I kind of recall you going away for the summer sometimes. And I mm-hmm. even think one year that affected middle school football or something like that, that you had to go away for the summer or something like that, maybe. But man, with that, was that, and this is just kind of a question off the cuff, is that something that has inspired you? Because you're really hands-on with your children. And every since I've watched you as a father, man, it's unbelievable how hands-on you are with your kids. Was that a motivating factor? Or is that just something that just kind of came out of you? What would you say, like, drives your hands-on activity with your kids?
Absolutely, that inspired it, man. Like, because I wanted that. I wanted that as a kid. As I was just saying, like, me and my dad, we didn't have a relationship, but that was, I almost treat him like he's like my homeboy.
Yeah.
I just don't see him. I just didn't see him. Oh, I see you. What's up? It's love.
Yeah.
But as far as with my kids, I knew, like, hey, I want to be there. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like missing. I'm like the dad that don't like missing anything. I ain't trying to miss. I don't care if it's the first time to meet ice cream. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Like, so that was just in me, man. I always wanted that. And I think that more so came from, one, yeah, not necessarily having a relationship with my dad, but also, truth be told, I didn't grow up seeing that a lot,
yeah,
from men that I was around or just my family, period. So for me, man, I've always wanted to make sure, like, I'm there, always there, hands on. And I take a lot of pride in mommy not just doing everything, or mommy, yeah, being the one they call on. Like, I want to be, I love being that dad that's hands on, that can basically do everything that mom can do besides give birth.
Yeah. Now you can see it, man, and it's evident in you, bro, and it's really commendable, man. So what would you say, or who might you say, because your dad wasn't there as much as you would have liked, from your childhood and one from your adulthood, who are two men, one from childhood, that you saw that exemplify what it meant to be a man? And since you've been in manhood, who is a man at this stage of your life that has exemplified manhood?
Man, my Uncle Tony.
Okay.
That was my guy. That was my guy, man. He, when it comes to one of our favorite things, just athletic sports, yeah, that's the one that put me on everything.
Wow.
That's the one that got me loving the Cowboys. You,
yeah,
know, that's the one that I watched and I got to look at. And that was one of the few individuals that was hands-on with his children.
Yeah.
You know, his children, they were all in the same household. He was still with the mother of his children. Now, they wasn't married. That's the only thing. That was that old school. Yeah. That was that old school married by law.
Yeah.
You know, you just together so long. Hey, it is what it is. But as far as just manhood, that was him, man. I was a leech to him. I was always with him.
Yeah.
He always had me with him. And I used to hear stories, you know, my mom and him telling me and just other people in my family like, hey, Uncle Tony used to just come get you.
Wow.
Like, my dad wasn't there, but Uncle Tony used to just come get me. He snatched me up, taking me. You telling my mom, Thea, you good. I got him. I got Cliffy.
Yeah.
He snatched me up. So I was always with him. And he gave me that prime example of, one, how to be a hands-on dad, how to be fun, how to be loving to your children. And, man, that was the highlight, and that was the perfect example, man. I thank him so much for that.
That's amazing.
I thank him so much for that. And that was my childhood. And honestly, I still look back at him as I'm an adult. But, man, right now as an adult, I look at friends right now.
Wow.
We're grown now.
Yeah.
We're grown. So, I mean, a lot of examples that I have some great friends that are great fathers.
Yeah.
You're one of them.
I appreciate
you
that.
You know, you're one of them. You're somebody I look at, and I love the way you are with your daughter. And then I have another friend, we met in junior college,
mm-hmm.
and he was one of the young fathers that I got to see that wasn't playing around about being a dad.
Yeah.
And his you know, his name is Dante Williams, and he just moved to Georgia, but he gave me an example. We were in junior college, and he had a son, and, you know, he was in school. His son used to come up with him for a week, and he was still going to class, still handling his business. And I got an example of that way before I even thought about being a dad.
Wow.
Was watching him. And again, that was my friend. That was my homeboy. And I tell him all the time, like, hey, man, like, you was a person I looked at, like, when it came to being a dad.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yo, I need to make sure I do that, because he didn't make any excuses. He's our age, but we were sophomores in college, and he got his son up there with him, you know, is still going to class and still handling his business. So he gave me a prime example as an adult. And then from there, man, and you said one, but man,
many.
I wouldn't say multiple.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say multiple, but, you know, my wife's grandparents, both of her grandfathers give me perfect examples also.
Wow. Man, I think it's so interesting to hear you say that about your friend, because we hear those stories about women all the time, like how a woman had a baby, she took him to class in college, and it's so encouraging to hear that it's brothers out there doing the same thing, man, that's pressing through, that's hustling, that ain't giving up on their dreams because they had children either, you know what I mean? And then to hear about your Uncle Tony, I think that's a piece that's also very interesting and amazing. That our dads weren't there like we wanted, but we can point to one dude and be like, a lot of my attributes as a man or as a father are tied to this particular person. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's super cool to hear. And I think it helps too, man, alleviate this whole idea, especially in the Black community, that maybe the term father, like biological, aren't there, but it's all our mamas made sure it was a cousin, an uncle, somebody that was like, I remember my mom calling my cousins, like, y'all come pick him up. Now, some of my cousins was telling me the wrong stuff. You know what I mean? Like, they telling me the wrong stuff. But our moms was trying to make sure there was a man in our life, man, to show us examples and not just step into place and try to be a man. So I think that's so good to hear, man. And news to me too, man. So I appreciate you sharing it. Another question for you, man. Thinking about the tools of a man, right? There's so many attributes, so many qualities, characteristics that a man must have. What would you say is the most important tool for a man to have?
His word. Man, his word, man.
Yeah.
I ain't even got to think about that question.
Yeah.
His word. You got to think, man, a man's word leads to so many other things.
Yeah.
It leads to his integrity. It leads to people being able to trust them.
Yeah.
It leads to people being able to believe them. It leads to people being able to love them. A man, is able to keep his word and do what he say he's going to do,
yeah,
that is the most powerful tool. I mean, a man's word lead him, can give him influence.
Wow. Because
we know, hey, he said he's going to do that, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Ain't no ifs and buts about it.
That's,
so yeah, man, that's one of the most, that's the tool.
Would you say that's your most valuable tool, your word?
My word and just my belief, my belief system. I would say even more than just my word, you know, my belief system. I still believe and dream like I'm a kid.
Wow, man.
And I'm able to pass that down to, you know, my kids.
Yeah.
You know, because us as adults, we can be hypocrites a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll go tell our kids, hey, man, you can do anything you put your mind to. And then we'll turn around and we won't go chase what we're supposed to be chasing. So my belief system, but definitely my word, man, that's very important to me to be able to, especially when it comes to being a father. If I'm going to tell my kids I'm going to do something, then I'm going to do it.
That's good.
I tell my wife I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And if I tell you I'm not going to do something,
I'm not going to do it.
I ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So no, that's good, man.
Word.
I think the belief system piece is powerful too, man. Definitely the word. A man's word is everything. But that belief system piece, man, for me being a spiritual guy, and you too as well, that's so critical in what we believe in and what we walk by in faith, especially. And I think you said something. And I hope all the listeners hear that, men and women, that we can't tell our kids to dream and we sitting at the crib saying, I wish I would have. You know what I'm saying? Like you being hypocritical, and we still got space to dream, bro. Like we're not until you check out of here and the good father call you home, you should still be dreaming. And I think that's so critical, man. And that's a valuable tool for men and women to have. But we talking to men specifically. But we need more men that's dreaming. Because we grew up in an era where brothers was like, if they missed their football dream or if they didn't go be, you know, the engineer that they was planning to be, them boys checking out, they going to Hazelhurst Mill, getting a job and saying, man, I can't do nothing else. Nah, man, you still can dream. There's still other opportunities out there. And not to knock Hazer's Mill because it was a great job back in the day, you know what I'm saying? But the dreams are still alive, man. And so going back, every time I talk to you, man, every time I see you working with your son, I go back in my mind. So what the audience and the listeners don't know, there's a picture that we have. So Cliff, he real humble tonight, man. But the dude can draw. Dude used to dance back in the day, can hoop, play football, all these things, man. And he drew this picture, man. I don't know how he put me on the Steelers. He was on the Oilers, and I was playing receiver. He was playing DB, man. So that's one of the things that keep us tightly netted as brothers, man. That was seventh grade. And so I want to ask you this.
I just asked you for it. You sent it to me. I had to show my kids. Hey, look, man, look.
Yeah,
I
keep it available, man. It's in my favorites in my phone, bro. I keep it available, man. I've had that thing since seventh grade, bro. And we've been out of school for 20 years, man. So it mean that much to me, man. It's part of the value of the friendship, which I appreciate. So thinking about where we are now, what would you go back and tell your seventh grade self from where you are right now? Because I know some stuff.
Like how much? A lot. Yeah, I tell myself a lot. But definitely, because you just hit on it about, you know, the Hazelhurst Mill. And when I say, hey, I still dream big, that came back to me. You know what I'm saying? I kind of lost the dream. So I would definitely tell my 13-year-old self, my younger self, hey, don't lose your dream.
Wow.
But I will really put a strong emphasis on, hey, look, it ain't all about sports.
Yeah.
Which I love sports. But it was, you know, when I went to Savannah State and I had some little shortcomings and I actually, you know, failed out of school for a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It was like, oh, man, I ain't playing ball no more.
Wow.
It's over with. So I would definitely, because right now, you know, we're in a space right now where entrepreneurs, we're doing other things. And that's something that I could have been doing at 21, 22, especially nowadays when you see so many young entrepreneurs that are like financially free, set up for life, and they're in their 20s, I would have made a strong emphasis on, hey, man, go ahead and get into entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
At 13, maybe not at 13, but hey, go ahead and have your mind wrapped around what you want to do besides football. All right. I would have made a strong emphasis on that to my younger self, because that would have led to so many other things. But I'm in a place where I'm supposed to be at. But other than that, yeah, I would have told myself, hey, man, start thinking about what you want to do other than play a sport.
And I think that's the message we got to send to other young men. Man, as much as I love the game, as y'all heard my boy say earlier, he's a Cowboys fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. We don't play about the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Big dreams to play sports. But the reality is, man, some days I would love the financial that they have. But some days, man, when I look at the concussions and the injury, I can still run. You know what I'm saying? I can still go work out and feel fine. And, man, sometimes I'm grateful. I'm grateful that maybe it didn't work out for a reason. You know what I mean? I look at people like Antonio Brown, man, and I'm like, dude, I probably would have been like that. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have been jacked up like that. And I'm just grateful for it, man. And at this stage, just really pushing education, pushing financial freedom. Like you talked, we've had conversations about this plenty of times. Man, just going back thinking about the 13-year-olds right now. And my daughter's 13. Right? And how old are your two kids?
Three. You got 13.
Three, that's right.
You got 13, 9, and well, the girls is 13 and 9, and the boy is 6.
Yeah. So at your daughter's age and my daughter's age, man, it's now time for us to implement as fathers what you're talking about. Like, it's time to, man, bro, we were doing it. I remember selling pencils to white kids. Getting pencils and selling for $1.50 to white boys, man. We were doing it then, you know what I'm saying? But we just didn't have that push for it, man. And I think that would be great advice. What, Cliff, you talked about Savannah State, man. I remember coming up there and checking you out, going out, having a good time.
I remember that,
Man, what was the defining moment for you into manhood? What said, today, welcome to manhood? What was that moment for you, man?
Probably two situations, but both around that time in Savannah. One was, I spoke about it a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I failed out of school.
Yeah.
I failed out of school. And that was around the time, you know, it was a new rule with the NCAA about, you know, hey, you need a certain amount of credits. I changed my major when I got there from a junior college. So I was kind of low on, credits. And ultimately, I was ineligible for football. When I became ineligible for football, I became ineligible for school.
Wow.
Like, it didn't even matter at one point. So I was just there enjoying HBCU life. So I failed out of school, right? And at this moment, it was either, because I mean, they put me out of school. Like, off, I was living on campus. Hey, look, you got to leave.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, I have family in Georgia, but at this point I went to high school and everything in Connecticut, right? And I transferred from a junior college in New York.
Yeah.
So I'm like, my home is up north.
Wow.
I don't have anywhere to go.
Mm.
And I made my own decision. Like, no family, nobody, you know, And I would say my family never was really just, hey, you better go to college. It was more so like, you going to college? Great.
Yeah.
But if you don't, hey, cool. Just go get you a job. So for me, I didn't have anybody pushing me. So I had a man up and I said to myself, I said, all right, if I go back home to Connecticut, I'm never going back to school.
Wow.
Ain't no telling what I'm going to do. I was like, but if I stick it out down here in Savannah, go get my butt a job, go through all the steps I have to do to get back into school and get my degree so I didn't waste all this time and waste all this money, I'm going to be all right. So I made a decision, man. I went and got a job.
Wow.
Kind of thugged it out a little bit. Stayed with a friend here and there. Got me a job. Got my own place. You know, went through all the steps to get back eligible for college. And had to sit out a semester, got back in there, man, and got my degree. that was the time when I really felt proud of myself and that I manned up. Because up until that point, I was a little boy.
Yeah.
Even I was 21, 22, I was a little boy. You know what I'm saying? I was still doing boy things, and I wasn't a man. But at that moment, I manned up and said and made a decision that if I would have went back home, I wouldn't have finished school.
Wow.
That was one. And then when it was time for me to have, when we were having our first child, that was a major factor because me and my wife, and she was my girlfriend at the time, we weren't living together, you know. And I had me a nice little one bedroom, you know, a little bachelor pad, like nice yeah. spot, a nice spot away from Savannah State. And I literally, and I would say just, you know, as a man, just to myself, enjoyed it for like maybe a couple of months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when my wife said she was keeping the baby, she was like, look, I'm having this baby. I was like, all right. And then right then and there, when it was like, man, I'm about to be a dad.
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, look, I can't have my daughter move up in here. Yeah. Not this little spot. Not this spot that I got. Like, it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't a home. Mm. I didn't feel like it was a home for my child to come to. So then, I grinded so hard on that job I had, man, to make sure by the time that baby came, I had enough money to get to have us a apartment and a room that she would have of her own and all that stuff. That's when I put in a whole nother type of grind to make sure that when the baby came, that I had an actual room. Because I didn't have a room in the little basketball bat I had. That baby was going to be in the living room.
Straight studio style, huh?
Yeah, studio style. I said, man, I got to make sure I got me a room for my baby when she comes home from the hospital, crib, so on and so forth. So I just got on my grind, man. And that was the defining moment, too. So, those were two pivotal moments right there.
Man, what I hear is decisions and determination, man. Decisions and determination. And I think, bro, that's what makes and breaks a lot of men. The decision that you got to make, because you could have easily went back to Connecticut, got caught up doing whatever, you know what I'm saying? Making quick money. Because we've been entrepreneurs by nature, right? Whether that's street pharmacy or if that, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. If it's legal. So the fact that you made that type of decision clearly states that manhood is about decisions that we make. And there's a lot of men, no matter what age, making foolish decisions, which will defy their manhood. And then a lot of younger men who are making grown man decisions, and then just determination. And I see that, man, when you was talking, I see literally our grandfather's generation, right? So their grind was different. It was pop. He went out, he hustled, he brought all the money home. But it was the same type of grind that you're talking about. Like, you didn't want to see your daughter come to a studio bachelor pad. You didn't want to move your girl in there to that. And you wanted to establish family, man. And that's something big for us as men to pass along to the next generation. You're fortunate to have a son and pass it on to him that, man, decisions and determination are things that defy manhood. Because we talked about this on some of the other podcast episodes, and you probably have heard it too. I know I was told manhood was about how many women you get. When you get women, you now you a man. I'll never forget. I think I shared this on another episode. My dad told me when we was in seventh grade, bro. Acne was breaking out. My dad told me, like, boy, that's because you ain't getting none. So then I started thinking, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I started thinking that women was like acne control. So I'm going out here just trying to get women to get. Because I ain't want the bumps on my face. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the seventh grade playing basketball. The kids picking on me because they call me pepperoni face. I'm trying to get girls on that. And then I thought that's what manhood was. But hearing you with decision making and determination, man, those are critical keys to what it looks like to come into manhood. And Cliff, man, I commend you too. I got to throw this in there, man. I watch you support your wife. And Ev, man, she's doing, man, just incredible things, incredible social media platform, incredible business professional, entrepreneur. I mean, the sister is killing it. What does that look like, bro? Cause there's a lot of men even today in our generation that they ain't having their woman out front the way you get. It's like I see you behind Eb just pushing her, like, go ahead, do your thing. Like, what, how do you maintain your manhood even with your wife being out front the way she is? Cause she's a guru at everything she touches, it seemed like it turned to gold. So how do you maintain your manhood even though she's out front like that?
Man, listen, I want to be better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worried. Like, why not? Like, she makes me better.
Wow.
I make her better. You know, and I'm a motivating type of person. Like, I like to push people. Like, that's, you know, I'm a coach, so I push people. So she needs me to be able to push her. I can't be a person that's not pushing her or not behind her.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm me. Like, I'm confident. Like, I've always been.
Yeah.
You know what they start saying? I always been him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not even worried about that. Like, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
So, what's better than being that guy and not having your woman be that lady?
Yeah.
Come on, I mean, I can point out any successful black man like that we would look up to or that we consider celebrities. And I don't hold celebrities higher than non-celebrities. But who you want to name?
Yeah.
You can name Barack and Michelle.
Right.
You can name Jay and Beyonce, whoever. I mean, so I look at it in a sense like that. I mean, my wife is killing it.
Yeah.
I need her to do that because we have big goals that right now we have three kids that they want. they don't know little. They want everything. So guess what? It ain't just going to come from one. It's going to come from all. And we're a team. And we just have a great understanding with each other, especially because the way both of us actually grew up. So, yeah. I mean, she made me better.
Yeah, that's good, man. And I think the one of the key terms I heard you say is that we're a team. I think when men start to learn that they're teammates with their wife or their woman, it kills that competition and that insecurity. Like, and then I think the biggest thing is, bro, people say what they want to say, but you said it. I've been him. When you confident in you, she can make three times as much as me and I ain't tripping. Like, I'm celebrating. Go get that bag. I said on one podcast, bro, this is real life. I'll cook, I'll clean. Cause I learned these things. Folding clothes don't make me feel like less than a man. You go to work, I have a clothes folded by the time you get to the crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not bothered by that. And that's because you walk in confidence, man. And we can appreciate that from man to man. I can appreciate that because I watch you. I watch you with your kids. And we watch each other, but I watch you with your wife. And man, it's commendable and it's something that a brother can strive for, man. And this is the last question I got.
Just to add to that, bro. Now you're gonna cut you off, but like, why would you like... My wife is my best friend.
Yeah.
She's my best friend. She's the closest. She's honestly, she above the kids.
Yeah.
They gonna leave one day. You know what
it's
saying?
Gonna be y'all too.
Yeah, it's gonna be us too. So why am I in competition or feeling some type of way? Like, I wouldn't be in competition with you.
Right.
That's what dudes be getting mixed up at. Like, they'll treat one of their best friends, their homeboys, like, man, this my guy, man. We together. I ain't against my dog. But the lady that you go home with, lay down with every single day, you'll be in competition with.
That's crazy.
That don't even make sense.
It don't, dog.
So I'm not in competition with my wife. Why?
Right. Cats got more loyalty to the boys in the streets than the woman at their house, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We in the same household.
That's crazy. That's crazy, dog. Yeah, this is the last question, man. I'm gonna get out your hair, man. We have to ask this question. How do you define a man? How do you define a man?
Being a person that, one, stands up for himself.
Mm.
Two, stands up for not only just his direct family, but the ones that he loves. A man that... Or not just a man, but one that makes sure he sticks to his words.
Mm.
He takes accountability.
Oh, that's good.
For his actions, for his ups, his downs. doesn't make excuses.
Mm.
All right. Only makes things happen.
Yeah.
One that, you know, puts his arms around his family. One that can show being vulnerable. One that can feel that he's him.
Wow.
Like, I'm an emotional person. And at one time, you know, I used to feel like, man, I can't be emotional like this. But why? I don't care, man. I'm an emotional person. I can show my emotion.
Yeah.
Somebody that's comfortable in their skin. All right? Somebody that's willing to give the shirt off their back for their loved ones.
Yeah.
And somebody that's willing to do it not just for their family. Somebody that's willing to help when they see somebody else, you know, hurt. And they're able to help.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot be a person that's holding the phone recording when something going on around me.
Wow.
Wow. And I don't even want to touch on that, but I can, it'd be so many men. Hey man, stop. Hey, you holding the phone.
Wow.
How you holding the phone?
Wow.
Just little stuff like that, man. And I mean, the definition of a man can go on and on and on and on. But the final thing I would say, man, is one that makes sure he's there for his family.
Yeah.
Period. And that can be in so many different elements. Not just physically, not just emotionally, not just financially, but all of them.
Yeah.
You know, as men, and I'll leave this, it's very important that we're there physically and we're there emotionally, but shoot, we cannot leave out that money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And it ain't always just about money.
Nah, I get it.
It ain't just all about money, man. But I see a lot of times where men leave this earth and they didn't leave their family anything.
Wow.
And they didn't have the proper things. So that's part of being a man. Like, yo, you gotta have your business together.
Yeah.
And that business can be something as simple as life insurance.
Right.
Like, dog, you ain't no man. You ain't got no life insurance. You got kids.
Yeah.
We can leave here any day now.
Man.
Why would I leave? And then now I was the breadwinner. Now ain't no bread. Man. I done left. Now I'm leaving my family hurting.
You left so and took the bread.
Be able to think about, you got to be able to think about the future and not just think about now.
Yeah, that's so good, man. It just reminds me, I buried my dad, and I was responsible. So when the bill came back, I'm a college student, and my auntie sending me a part of the bill to bury my dad. And that's not what we want to leave behind, man. And to so many things that you said, the vulnerability piece, real men are able to be vulnerable. And vulnerable don't mean that you got to cry, but it don't mean that you don't have to cry either. So not being afraid. When you got confidence, Cliff, like you mentioned, you don't have to feel any type of way about showing your level of vulnerability or emotion, right? And I think, correct, man, that's one of the better definitions that I've heard tied into manhood or being a man is somebody that don't mind being vulnerable. Because we were taught to just hold our emotion in. Fall on the bicycle, boy, get up. Boys don't cry. You know what I mean? Football, we play football, man. I'm talking about R&B broke out there. They telling you, don't you cry. You get up, walk off the field. And that didn't teach us how to deal with injury. That taught us how to hold in our emotion and not share our emotion. And now you get, when I was 20, 30, I'm wondering like, why I'm afraid to be emotional. I've been taught all my life, men don't cry. Men don't hurt. All these things. So man, thank you for sharing that, bro. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and thank you for the financial freedom piece. And I hope a lot of brothers are listening to that, man. And I hope a lot of brothers take heed to what you're saying. Man, go get you a life insurance policy, man. Me and you had this conversation when I didn't have life insurance. We was at Starbucks, I think, and in Metro Atlanta, and we talked about it, man. And at the time, it didn't make sense to me because nobody ever said it. But man, go get your insurance policy. And there's other ethnic groups. We ain't got to get into that too deep. They're killing that system, man. They are killing them dudes leave here and they leave everybody set. And we leave here with our kids having to pay for our funeral. It ain't happening, man. So thank you for that, bro. Thank you for this moment, man, and sharing with me. Thank you just for the conversation, man. I appreciate you. And let everybody know where they can find you at social media. Anything that you want to shout out real quick.
Yeah, man, I'm on social medias, Facebook, Instagram. It's my name, Clifton Austin, SR. You can look up Coach Austin. That's me. Send me a message. I'm big on financial freedom, big on, you know, life insurance and things of that nature. I see other people doing it, and I just don't know why my community can't. Yeah. And I'm not even going to say my community can't. We will. We do. So that's been a focus of mine for a while now, is being able to implement financial structure within our community. But other than that, man, you can find me on social media. You can find me liking some of James Earl's posts.
Yeah.
You see my name right down there, liking it. So that's where we're at, man. And I'm going to forever be attached to this brother here. So
yes,
I just need to get out to California.
Man, come on, man. We waiting on you, man. Come on out here, bro. It's happening just a little bit out here. It's happening. Listen, everybody, thank y'all so much for listening to the podcast again. Y'all already know how we do. It's always, always, no matter what you go through, a great day to be great. I love you, but know that God loves you so much more. And we're out. Peace.